Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, if you would, please, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to just take and read this chapter through. And then I'd like to take and review this past year again that we've had in our time in the Sunday school. So follow along as I read. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in your prayers. Sounds like a little southern he got into there, for you all. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men ye were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that ye were an example to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. That's the portion in Thessalonians there. This year we're going to take and think about missionaries because of the missionary conference, which is when? Right, the first Saturday of November. And where is it at? Springbrook, you sure? Okay, Springbrook, all right. First week, and so we'd like to invite you right now. We'd like to take and have a little bit of a missionary emphasis. And in October, we're having another program that's going to start here. Well, I will in a second here. Wait, when is it, for tomorrow night? Tuesday? It's in September normally. I don't know the... Huh? Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. I knew it was in September, but I wasn't sure of the date there. September, Monday after the conference, he says, for the planning part there, as they get together for one last time. But in connection with the missionary conference and a little emphasis on missionaries, and then we're going to start this other program that came out of mission work kind of like. So sort of the whole year is going to have some thoughts with regards to missions and missionary work. But this is with regards to Paul as he remembers the Thessalonians who on his second journey he took and visited. This was part of his journeys. What about our journeys? Where have we been on our journeys as kind of a meeting? Well, dropping back, and right now I don't have the years of some of this, but we did consider like the Messianic Psalms in connection with the parables. We considered Christ is the answer one year. We also did an Old Testament survey that was connected with talking through the Bible or walking through the Bible. And also the New Testament. So to get a brief idea of what was in the Bible as a whole, as a picture of what's there a little bit, we considered some of that. Plus, I think there were some other things in there as well. More recently, back in 95 and 96, we looked at some stories from basically the Old Testament. And so the classes were looking at stories out of this. We picked out a story. These are bedtime Bible stories that I picked up. And it just gave a little thing real quick, something that could be read at bedtime, but just to expand upon that idea, and we considered various stories that were familiar And we went through, again, some things in the Old Testament, highlighting some of these stories, and the children especially, I think, enjoyed that particular year. That was back in 95 and 96. Then the following year, 96 and 97, we considered some of the stuff that came to the different churches from Paul, the letters that were sent, like Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, the Thessalonians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and Timothy and Titus. We considered those letters and some thoughts that were found there, something that was given to the churches. And then Uncle Dave had his black lights that year on the seven churches as he had his black light messages. And then sometimes it gets a little confusing because what we did is split the year. We continued on our study that year with the topic of hope, but it didn't finish that year. We started it and it spilled over to the following year, but from this particular book, Never Give Up, The Incredible Payoff of Perseverance by Don Hawkins. He's on the Back to the Bible Hour. He was, maybe he still is, I don't know right now, but he wrote, it was an excellent book. We used that as a reference, and that we had different things about our hope as far as in the future. We have a hope in the future, and because of that, it can take and help us during our lifetime right now. And so we started that, and then during the summer, maybe you might remember the time that we had with Joseph, as we had Frank sort of scare the kids out of their minds a little bit as he played the part. I remember that quite well there, but at least it got through to the kids. We found out in the classes that they had two answers now that they could give the teacher to their questions. It was not only just Jesus, but Joseph also was an answer that they kind of gave for the answer to the questions. They didn't know what the answers were for the younger ones there. But we had that in 96 and 97. As I said, we continued with that topic of hope and finishing up on that, thinking about, again, not only hope in the future, but hope right now for the present. And then we went into the book of Judges and considered that using some thoughts. Again, is this reference from a book that I received at that Christmas, John Hunter, Judges in a Permissive Society. And the fact that the people of Judges went through a cycle of doing the same thing over and over again. They did what they felt was right in their own hearts and in their own minds, and as a result ended up with under servitude and had to cry out for salvation, and the Lord restored them again, and then they took in where there was some peace for a while, some silence, and then the cycle started over again. But again, we looked at the behavior, and Uncle Dave had people that were called twice, if you remember, during the time that he had his black lights again. And to me, those people were examples of what you could look at different people and their behaviors and how the Lord dealt with those different ones. And it, I thought, fit in very nicely there. But we dealt with those two areas of hope and behavior. And then we took and finished off with the summer that Chris came up and put together with regards to salvation and splitting it up into several things. One was reconciliation. One was forgiveness, one was justification, one was redemption, and one was adoption. So there was different aspects to that topic of salvation and expanding on that topic. And to me, again, I thought that was an excellent year. We looked at hope first, then behavior, then salvation. And so sometimes that's kind of like the reverse of what we'd like people to consider. They might need to consider what their salvation is, that they need to be saved. And based on their salvation, they need to take and live a changed life, a modified behavior. And because of that, we have a future to look forward to, our hope. So we took and looked at it sort of in reverse order, hope, behavior, and salvation, although many times in our life, it kind of goes the other way with looking at our salvation first, and then behavior, and then the hope that we have, and consider that even more. So that was 97 and 98. So then we had this past year, and so we have these over here on this side. That's what we kind of started out this past year with. What hinders me? And we had the different classes, or somebody take and put together one of those things. So that's why they're different colors as the letters are. But that's what we started out with, and then we rearranged the topic. We started out with what hinders, question mark, and the answer to that is myself. Many times we get in the way of ourself and become a problem. And as examples of that, we looked at Joshua 24, again, where he made the choice with his family to take and choose to serve the Lord. But then again, we looked at some examples in Judges where they chose to do other things and the things that happened as a result of those choices. Again, to me, one of the important things from this book that I enjoyed was the brother expressing the fact of the choices that we make end up in certain consequences that automatically come sometimes with them. We make a choice, here's the consequence, whether we like it or not, you know. And sometimes I think we forget about those consequences in our behavior and sometimes how we have to take and pay the bill. So what hinders us sometimes in our life? Well, it's ourselves. What hinders me? Well, it might not only be ourselves, was the second thing that we consider, but it might also be other people that would affect us. And we looked at Job as an example of that with his three friends. And so not only do we affect our own lives, but other people are affecting our lives, which means that we also could affect other people's lives. And the last part, what me hinders, that's not very good English, but just to keep all the words in rotating there, and the answer would be is yourself. We affect our own lives, we affect other people's lives, and they can also affect our lives. And so in the beginning we looked at that again, as I said, with some thought about Judges and the behavior that you can find there. And then, while I was gone for some of that, Uncle Dave had his lessons on the black light again of who? See if you remember that. What? I hear it faintly. Elisha, very good. Elisha. And to me, again, it could be an example of these various areas as you consider the person of Elisha. All the people in the Bible go through things that God has given to us for different experiences to help us with our lives there. And so he had that. And then we had a portion of the time there until the summertime when we considered Paul's prayers, some of his prayers that he has. And again, the help that we could have in that. And then, as you know, we finished up last week there, as I gave some sort of a summary there about the miracles that we find in the book of John. And so the question mark at the end is there to pose to the you. What do you see? What do you get out of those miracles, those stories to yourself? And so here's a little, that was a little bit of a summary to this past year. So where has our journey taken us? To me, I think we've had some excellent ministry for our meetings here. And if you were here for those meetings, hopefully that you benefited from that. There was many people that contributed to the work of the assembly alone, and that's not just the only meetings we had. Of course, we have our worship time, which is an excellent time to meet together. And again, it's a very wonderful time that I would encourage you to be here as a believer to take and enjoy in. And then we have our prayer meeting Bible study as well as some other things for young peoples or other things. But the ministry of the place here, again, is the concern of getting forth the word, encouraging you, because we can't cover everything, to take and look at it yourself, to take and study it and enjoy it and learn from it. The idea is, again, you've received a great deal, I think. What have you done with what you've received? Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, this time looking at verse 18, it says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." As I said, we started out, what hinders me in the beginning of this year? Well, here's one other thing that we didn't cover, but you need to realize that he's out there as well, too, and the enemy is strong. And Paul came to the Thessalonians, but he wanted to go again, but he was being hindered by Satan. Why? Because he wanted to stop the word going forth. He wanted to stop that ministry that is being given forth. And so here's another source that you need to be very aware of. But Paul goes on to say, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? And we consider that, as I mentioned in our review here, the idea of hope that we looked at for the present as well as for the future. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? And so that's what he rejoiced in, is the fact that as they heard the word, that they took and received it, and now this becomes their hope. And the hope that even if I don't see you again, even if I'm detained, I'm going to take and see you in glory. That's our hope, our joy, our crown or rejoicing that others are going to be there as well, that we've taken and talked with and dealt with. And he goes to say that specifically in verse 20, for you are our glory and joy, not because of what they did, but because they were helpful and influential and being obedient to spreading forth the gospel, and these people responded to them. And so they could look at these people, and especially the Thessalonians, as he tells them, that even if I didn't get to see you here, you are our hope, you are our joy, because you're going to be there in the presence of the Lord. This is a hope that the people of the world still miss in a great deal. But I chose this portion because it kind of also goes over through some of the things that we went through again. So let's go back to chapter 1. And verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And as I mentioned, we took and looked at some of the prayers that Paul had to consider this year, or had this year in our study in the springtime there. And in his prayers were included the other people, and he's telling us specifically, we give thanks to God always for you. And so again, we're thankful for the different ones even that do gather and enjoy gathering in his name, even our meeting. And we realize that even though there's some difficulties that may enter your life, we trust that you might realize the food that you have from here, from his word, might help you continue through the days that lie ahead. But we give thanks also for the people here that meet together here. Paul had no idea about our group at all. What would he say to our group? Well, maybe he would say certain things, but he could take what was said to this group and also, again, apply it to our meeting. Remembering, in verse 3, without ceasing, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's different ones here that this past year have taken and worked very hard. I've mentioned in different ways, and we have the teachers who continue to teach, and the joy that they have in that work. Sometimes it's discouraging. Sometimes they have difficulty. Sometimes they have things that are kind of uplifting. I enjoyed listening to some of the ideas that they did to try to generate some of these pictures and having some of these miracles take place. For instance, they were trying to take and change the water into wine in some form, and so they had taken a pitcher and put some Kool-Aid at the bottom with something over the top of it and then put water on it. So when they dumped it out, it was water to start with, but as you shook it around, it mixed up, and then here comes out, and the kids, I guess, were really, how'd you do that, you know? And so some of the teachers have been very creative, and if you talk to them, listen to what some of the stories that they've done with the classes there. But they've worked, and of course they're not getting paid for doing that. There's the other different ones that have given forth the ministry. There's others involved in Awanas. Again, the work of faith that continues on here will only continue because there's more than one person involved doing it. In any of these things, it needs the work of the different ones. And so your work of faith, what is your work of faith personally? You need to take and consider that. And labor of love, you do it not for money, but your labor of love, you do it out of love. And patience of hope, we've talked about the topic of hope. And again, patience of hope, waiting for time to take place. It doesn't happen right away. We become saved, and well, don't think that you're going to be taken away right away. There is some time that takes place before we take and join him, but it's going to be a sure hope that we'll be there. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, considered kind of special in their work, in their actions, but then titled brethren beloved. And so again, expressing this idea of loving those people that have joined together in Thessalonica there. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. And again, this, as you listen to different people even today, as they talk about conservative people, people that are religious, kind of off the rockers, and why do they believe this? And yet, because people are convinced by His Word, by the power that's in His Word, by the Holy Spirit, so that they get to the point that they have much assurance about what they believe, regardless of what some of these other people or things might say. We talked about, as I reviewed there, about our behavior. And so he goes on to say in that verse, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes, and ye became followers of us. So that means that they had to take and change their life. He doesn't go on to say what they were, but they became followers. They changed their life. And they became followers of us, but that's not the important one as much as of the Lord, because Paul and the others wanted them to follow them because they followed the Lord. It's the Lord that's the important person to follow, not some man and his ideas. Having received the word in much affliction, and perhaps that's why they took and really considered it, because of the affliction. If I take and believe in this right now, it means a lot. It means a great deal. I might lose my life. And so perhaps in the affliction is what helped them receive what they did. As a result of becoming followers, it goes on in verse 7, so that ye were an example to all that believe. You were an example. And so there was that modified behavior. Salvation came. You became a follower. You were changed. You exercised a patience of hope, and so became an example to others. For out of you sounded, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, Paul says, so that we need not to speak anything. In other words, they didn't have to take, and there was enough there. So if people are involved, other people don't have to necessarily, he didn't have to come and help out doing that because these people were doing their job. And he takes and commends them for that. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. So we don't know maybe much about their behavior, but we know that they were serving idols. And what were they changed to? To serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. And so, to me, this chapter here is an example, explanation of what we've been trying to study in the last few years and in our journey. And so you can see some of the goals that Paul had in mind for them, and I trust that it might impress upon you to take and turn from what you were to serve the living and true God, not just some person, not just some thought, something, but to serve and to wait. So it sounds like sort of contradictory terms, you know, to serve, to do something, but then to wait. But they're talking about two different things. We have to wait for His return, but while we're waiting, we need to be busy in what we're doing. And so in this sense, they're not like go, but don't go. It's in a little bit different context there. So 1 Thessalonians, if you want to take and think about our past couple of years, that would be to me a good portion to take and consider for a summary of these past couple of years. Again, in the future, as I said, we're going to be looking at some emphasis about missionaries, missionary work, and so forth. And in the middle of October, we're going to start another program that we'll mention later on here. Some might hear it at different times, but we're not going to mention that right now. But we're going to be doing a study. And it's going to be the whole Sunday school again, so I would encourage you to talk to your children, grandchildren, and so forth, see what they're doing. inquire about what they're doing, because they should be doing similar things, and see what they're getting out of it. Sometimes they won't tell you right away for a long while, but eventually things come out there. Turn over to Romans chapter 15. I close with this verse in summary of our journey that we've had for quite some time and the journey that we continue to take, Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written in earlier times were written for our learning. Sunday school is always thought of as a time to learn, and that's what we try to do, is give out things for people to take and learn. What they do with that knowledge, we hope that will go beyond what they glean, that they might make the application. So it was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so this verse kind of summarizes to me what we've been looking at, that we might have hope. How do we get the hope? Through Scriptures. How do we get the Scriptures? Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. It's not something that comes quickly. We spent a number of years here. When I talk about this review, it's not just 1 year. It's not just a month. It's over maybe 10 years. And yet it's through the patience of studying the Scriptures, of presenting forth the Scriptures. And as we presented that, there's been that comfort of the Scriptures, of what you get out of it. And so it's through the Scriptures. And as we continue this coming year, starting in October, again, it will be through the Scriptures that we continue to take and spread forth the thoughts that we have. Through patience and through the comfort of the Scriptures, we continue on in our journey, and trust that you might take and enjoy this journey, that it might be helpful to you, and it might continue to speak to you and to others. And so that's a little quick rundown of this past year and a little bit where we're maybe going. I'm going to ask Uncle Dave if he'd just like to end our meeting with a word of prayer, and then you're dismissed for this morning. Each one of the classes did one, and then maybe a couple extras by adults there. But each class did one.
Was there an explanation given on these pictures?
There wasn't any explanation per se on the picture, except
like the eyes, or the fact your eye is what hinders you from.
Well, in the class they might have done that, yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't do that.
No,
here, right?
I didn't do it with the adults.
Yeah, all right. I was trying to see what the things were that hindered. I was able to get that out.
All we did is ask the teachers to take and do the letters. They didn't even know how the words were going to come out at first. So they couldn't expound upon that particular thing in the beginning there with that.